Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass. Tom, it's nice. We got a little rain. The mountains getting some snow, and certainly we need it, right?
A little powdered sugar dusting.
A little sugar, powdered sugar dusting for the hills. But the good news is Lake Tahoe in that area, 17 feet of snow up in the Tahoe area and the Sierra. It isn't going to necessarily this one or two big snowstorms and the drought, but boy, it is a great start. It is the snowiest year, a month up in the Sierra in 50 years.
So, and isn't another storm system approaching the West Coast and supposed to dump more snow?
They are. They're lined up. So we're going to get some rain, actually, from one of those systems on Friday. Today is Wednesday, 12/29. It's December 29th, 2021. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. Our radio station is 1030. It's KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Darn proud of the fact that we have pretty much every show we have done since we launched the radio project after 22 years on television. We launched Buckmaster Radio first week of January in 2011. We got that week up there for sure, but we've got years of programs at buckmastershow.com. Very simple to use a website. We haven't really made any tweaks in it in 11 years. It's just real easy to use. It's easy to find all of our shows. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio is Rex Scott, Democrat representing the first supervisorial district in Pima County. Supervisor Scott, happy holiday. How was your Christmas?
Bill, it was terrific. My wife and I have two children, mm-hmm. and our son moved up to Portland, Oregon this mm-hmm. summer. Mm-hmm. And so we went up there with his sister, his twin sister, and we rented an Airbnb near his apartment mm-hmm. and were able to be together for the holidays. And one of our nieces lives in Seattle, which is just a 3.5-hour drive mm-hmm. from Portland, and mm-hmm. she drove down with her boyfriend. So it was Christmas with the millennials at an Airbnb for my wife and I, and we had a great time.
Had it started snowing yet? Or
it did. Yeah, it did. And Bill, as you know, I grew up in southeastern Ohio, which mm-hmm. gets its fair share of snow. Mm-hmm. The day before we left, we drove to Multnomah Falls, which is the second highest waterfall in the country.
I know it well. It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
It truly is, and there are some minor falls on the way there. Mm-hmm. I was grateful for being able to draw on the reserve winter driving skills that I have, because the road to the falls was extraordinarily slippery, and I had to navigate our vehicle back onto that small road a couple of times. So happy to be up there with our son, and but glad to be back here and away from the snow.
Yeah, so you called upon your driving skills from your days in the winters in Ohio. What's going on with the Pima County Jail? We're hearing about, the last number I had was heard 150 of our corrections officers are facing termination because they do work with vulnerable populations and they have chosen not to be vaccinated. Rex Scott, give us an update.
What I find interesting is the numbers that we hear from Sheriff Nanos, who, as we know, is a career law enforcement officer, along with the command staff that works with him in running the jail. And they think that the actual number is going to be much lower, that there are a lot of their corrections officers that are waiting to get vaccinated. But based on the anecdotal evidence that I've heard from the sheriff that he has shared with various media outlets around here, I don't think the number is going to be anything close to that. Having said that, the other thing that I am comforted by is that there is a task force. The sheriff is part of that, along with the county attorney, representatives from Public Defense Services, the probation department, and they are looking at the possibility, if we need to, of reducing the jail population with nonviolent offenders, most of whom are there for probation violations. And if that becomes necessary, there is a plan for doing that. And so that's not going to be any threat to public safety.
Yeah, these are not hardened criminals that are suddenly going to be released and out on the streets.
No, they aren't, Bill. And I don't think a career law enforcement official like our sheriff and the other career law enforcement officials on his command staff are going to do anything that is going to put either the public at risk or the staff at the jail at risk.
Yeah, you can't imagine career law enforcement people being comfortable releasing hardened criminals.
No, and really, if you look at what we have done in Pima County with regard to mandating vaccines for our employees who work with vulnerable populations, it's not all of our employees, it's just our employees who work with vulnerable populations. That not only speaks to the duty that we have to protect the members of those vulnerable populations, like the inmates at the jail, but if you work with a vulnerable population, you are much more likely to become infected yourself. So we're also taking this step to safeguard our employees. We think everything that we have done with regard to mandating vaccines for just those employee groups has been reasonable and effective.
What about the mask mandate? It's pretty much an advisory, isn't it?
It is, Bill, and as you know, I voted against it.
Yeah, it was a 3-2 vote, and you joined you went across the aisle with Republican Steve Christie and said no to it.
Well, and I think Supervisor Christie and I probably had different reasons for our no votes, uh-huh. But the reason I voted against it is not because I question the efficacy of masks as a mitigation measure. As you know, I came into the studio today.
You came in wearing a mask.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I wear one in group settings, and we've had an advisory through the health department for months, ever since the Delta variant became a concern, advising that we wear masks. But I don't think in this very politicized environment where masks have become a symbol of division and discord, I don't think the county telling people to wear masks is an admonition that is going to be heeded by certain members of our population. And then who's responsible for enforcing that so-called mandate? It's the people who work in our stores, restaurants, bars, schools, and other public accommodations. And again, given how divisive and sometimes mean-spirited the debate over mask wearing can be, I just didn't think it was fair to put them in that position, those frontline employees, nor did I think it was likely to result in more mask wearing. I think we should have emphasized the public health advisory that we've had in place for several months, but I think the time for mandating masks passed a long time ago.
Why don't we pause right here before we delve into some things about the RTA and Pima County employees will be getting fully paid parental leave. That's something that you spearheaded, Rex Scott, and I want to hear the details about that after we take a break. But right now, Supervisor Scott, you know what I want to talk about.
What one of your favorite District 1 businesses, I believe, Bill.
Indeed, it is a favorite District 1 bakery. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. My goodness, Supervisor Scott, what a wonderful Thanksgiving and Christmas season Steve and the team had at Mona's. Supervisor Scott, for Thanksgiving, they set a record for Mona's, 650 pies.
Wow.
For the Thanksgiving season. Then we talked a lot about having a Danish Kringle on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. Wow, the boxes were stacked. I went in there Christmas Eve. The boxes ready for pickup of Kringles. Some of the Kringles were in giant boxes that would serve 20 to 25 people. And I'm suggesting now a lot of people like to start the new year out with something nice in the morning, a nice pastry. How about a Danish Kringle?
Why not? You know, I think you have that along with your black-eyed peas. How can you have anything but good luck for 2022?
There you go. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Rex Scott. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. I want to talk with Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor, District 1, a little bit about his thoughts on the editorial that Tom Murphy, Mr. Murphy is the Sahorita mayor. He's also the serves as the chair of the Pima Association of Government's Regional Council, and he's also chair, Rex Scott, of the RTA board. Is that correct?
No. Okay. The chair of the RTA board is Bob Tesso, the mayor of South Tucson.
Ah, Got that. But you are the representative to the RTA board representing Pima County.
And I'm also the representative to the PAG Regional Council. Our meetings are on the same day. The Regional Council meets first. The RTA board meets afterwards.
After reading the op-ed piece from Tom Murphy, I thought the takeaway was there's been some misinformation concerning the funding of especially the final 5 years of the current 20-year package.
I think Mayor Murphy did an excellent job in his column of speaking to the successes of the PAG Regional Council and the RTA board, especially since 2006 when the first RTA plan was passed by the voters. And if you look at everything that has been accomplished during that plan, and that plan is going to expire in 2026.
5 years.
It's been a significant series of accomplishments, and it's also spoken to the importance of regional collaboration. There is so much more that all of us can accomplish together than we could ever accomplish separately. And Mayor Murphy, appropriately in his role as our leader on the PAG Regional Council, was using that column to speak to the many successes that we've had and the need for us to come together as a region again so that we can get a new RTA plan on the ballot no later than 2024 so that it can be vetted by the voters and hopefully approved by them so that it can be in place when the current plan expires in 2026. And Bill, as the representative of the county, and everybody on the PAG Regional Council and RTA board is a Pima County resident, what I've been trying to do is look for opportunities for collaboration and consensus and finding common ground. Because if we fail in our duty to get a plan before the voters, before the current plan expires, then they're going to hold all of us accountable and justifiably so for failing to come together and failing to do something that is in the best interest of everybody in Pima County.
And the five-year, the program, there's funding to fund the projects that are planned for the next period till the termination of the contract.
Well, one of the points that Mayor Murphy made in his column was that back in, he didn't cite the year, but back in 2014, previous PAG Regional Council voted to use all other funds that come in from the federal government to make up for any shortfalls in RTA funding, because the Great Recession of 2008 to 2010 did reduce the amount of revenue that was projected to be paid through the half-cent sales tax that funds the RTA when it was passed by the voters in 2006. So we use those additional federal funds to help make up any shortfall. But he also made another point that has been acknowledged in the past by the other jurisdictions, which is that if a project it is going to cost more money than it was projected to cost when the original plan was passed in 2006, the main responsibility for making up that shortfall rests with the lead jurisdiction for that project. And Pima County, Marana, the city of Tucson, Sabarita have all paid additional funds over the years to make up those shortfalls. And I know that there is some discussion going on right now between the city of Tucson, their transportation department staff, and Pima Association of Government staff to come up with some mutually agreed upon figures on the shortfalls for some of the city's projects, which are the projects in the last 5 years of the plan, and that's by the city's choice. They wanted to use most of the funds that went to the city in the beginning part of the RTA plan to fund the streetcar and to fund some of the other projects within the city of Tucson. So the reason that a lot of the remaining projects are city projects, they were backloaded to this last part of the plan, that was at the request of the city. So again, what we need to do as the PAG Regional Council and the RTA board is look for more opportunities to compromise and come together so that we can get a plan in front of the voters no later than 2024 so that it can be hopefully approved by them and in place when the current plan expires in 2026.
This 2022 year has got to be critical, I would think, to really getting everybody on board and moving this thing really closer to the goalpost.
Well, at our next meeting, which is early in January, we are
supposed to... A couple of weeks away.
Yes, yeah. Sir. We are supposed to be getting names from a committee that is headed up by... Mayor Tesso and Chairman Yucapizio, who are the chair and vice chair of the RTA board, and they're also working with the chair and the two vice chairs of the Citizens Advisory Committee to select 12 new members so that the Citizens Advisory Committee can be up to its full complement of 35.
Mm-hmm.
And after we get those names and make those appointments, what we need to do as an RTA board is make sure that Citizens Advisory Committee, now that it will be up to its full complement, has all of the resources and guidance that they need so that they can get to work on cobbling together that plan, get all the public review and input that we need before they present it to the RTA board for our approval so that it can go on the ballot. So yeah, 2022 and 2023 are crucial years, and we've already lost some time because of the pandemic and some of the dickering that has occurred between the jurisdictions, and the time to waste is over. We need to move forward.
You spearheaded this county employees to get fully paid parental leave. You felt very strongly about this. This did pass last week. It was a 4-1 vote.
It did pass, and I'm very proud of my colleagues and I for seeing the need for our employees, our Pima County employees, to not have to worry when they have just brought a new life in the world as either a mother or father, to not have to worry about their salary. And previous to our action, if you were on parental leave, you only got 66% of your salary. Our vote took it up to 100%. And that's for a six-week period, anytime during the 12 weeks after after birth, you can take 6 weeks and you'll be paid your full salary. And it is a small cost to the county. It's going to be roughly $250,000 a year. But what that will mean to the families of our employees who have just brought a new life into the world and need to be focused on their duties, taking care of that newborn, is that they're not going to have to worry about their salary. And parental leave is something that employers around the country are taking a fresher look at. If you look at Bureau of Labor Statistics data, I believe that less than 30% of both public and private sector employees get any kind of parental leave. And if one of our first duties as supervisors is looking out for the best interests of the Pima County workforce, to me, this was something that we could do at a small cost to the county, but a great benefit to our employees who are just becoming mothers and fathers.
It's a sales tool as well when you look at the vacancies that everybody's got across the board, whether it's government or private sector.
Absolutely. When people are looking at where they want to take on their next job, one of the things that they're looking at is what are the benefits that my new employer is going to offer me, whether they be a private or public sector employer, what can I count on as an employee? So when we say, hey, if you come to work for Pima County and you take parental leave, you're going to get 100% of your salary during that leave, that's a tremendous enticement for anyone who is looking to join the Pima County workforce.
I was just reflecting on you being elected in the, well, really just as the COVID year began. Look at this. I mean, look where you are right now here. We're still dealing with COVID. It's been very strange.
It really has, Bill. And my entire campaign starting in March of 2020, right after we had submitted all of our petition signatures, because we submitted our petition signatures in February, and then we had started doing some door-to-door work. And then less than a month after we started that door-to-door work, everything shut down. And so the rest of our primary campaign and all of the general election campaign and everything since we took office in January of this year has been defined by the pandemic.
I mean, you were doing even your debates. We did your debate here on the program telephonically.
Correct.
So, I mean, you weren't really even campaigning, seeing the whites of the eyes, if you will, of your opponent.
No. In fact, I participated in some in-person forums with my primary election opponent.
Right, but what about the general election?
My general election opponent and I were never in the same room because both of us won our primaries in August, and you know where we were in terms of the pandemic in August. So every opportunity that we had to be together was conducted either by telephone or on a virtual platform.
Wow. And the meetings for the Pima County Board of Supervisors will remain, for the time being, Zoom?
Which is an extraordinary source of frustration to me, Bill. I'm the only one of the five of us who has voted to go back to in-person meetings every time it's come up.
You repeatedly vote to have it come.
I have voted each time to go back to in-person meetings, but we cannot get on the same page, the five of us, in terms of what it'll take to get there, and that's a great source of frustration. We ask our workforce to come into Pima County buildings every day. It seems to me that the Board of Supervisors should be able to find some common ground so that we can do the same that we ask our workers to do twice a month and also reopen these meetings to the public. I wish we're going to talk about it again next week, and hopefully we'll be able to find some common ground.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, I want to wish you and yours a very happy new year. We will see you in January. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Same to you and Ann.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues, talking with Arizona Attorney General candidate Chris Mays. She's on our live line, ready to go, right after the break.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio at KVOI, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. 13-acre site, everything you need for your garden, and Zocalo Village has some beautiful merchandise, some beautiful dining room sets, many of them handcrafted out of mesquite wood. From right here in Tucson, there's some beautiful items from Mexico as well at Green Things. Joining us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission and one-time gubernatorial spokesperson Chris Mays, a Democrat running for Arizona Attorney General. Chris was born on a Christmas tree farm in Prescott. Attorney Chris Mays teaches a course on energy law for the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law at ASU, where she also worked as a senior sustainability scientist at the School of Global Sustainability. After graduating valedictorian at ASU, Chris worked as a beat reporter at the Phoenix Gazette and the Arizona Republic. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Bill. It's good to be with you again. How are you? I'm doing great.
It's good to reconnect with you as well. And it is true that you love Christmas trees because that's where you're from.
I'm from Prescott. I'm coming to you from Prescott, from my hometown and the home I grew up in. So it's great to be with you.
Well, Chris, I've known you probably for 20 years. You've had a great career, but now you want to expand and become Arizona's next Attorney General. What are kind of the marquee issues that you are putting at the forefront of this run?
Yeah, so Bill, I decided to run for Attorney General because I really became fed up with what I was seeing in state government. And that starts with what I think is an all-out attack on our democracy, and primarily, almost exclusively by Republicans. And, you know, as you know, I'm a former Republican, but I became a Democrat after I became truly discouraged by where the Republican Party was going. And I believe that there is an attempt to undermine our democracy in Arizona, to really roll back voting rights in our state. We saw an attorney general in Mark Brnovich who literally, Bill, did nothing about the fraud and in fact encouraged it and is continuing it. We saw a situation where the Republican legislature allowed Arizona voter data to be sent to a cabin in Montana. I mean, how outrageous is that? And so my number one priority is protecting our democracy, protecting the rights of Arizonans. And then we know, of course, that there's going to be an effort to roll back reproductive rights in this state. There's an effort at the Supreme Court, likely to overturn Roe. And Bill, what I am saying is, as your next attorney general, I will never prosecute any woman or any doctor for seeking an abortion or providing one. And that's because I believe Arizona's constitution protects reproductive rights and has an express right to privacy. And I am the candidate saying that. I can promise you the Republicans are not saying that, and they will prosecute women if Roe falls. So And then, of course, I'm the only candidate saying that I want to be the first attorney general in Arizona history to make fighting climate change a top priority. And I think that's something we can do out of the attorney general's office. And as you know, we've talked a lot when I was on your show as a corporation commissioner. That's something that I put a priority on when I was on the commission.
Chris, it's been interesting to see the evolution of Arizona, how it went from a red to, you know, a blue state and now to purple. I mean, when you were working as the gubernatorial spokesman for Governor Napolitano, people keep saying that Arizona is purple. I mean, it's been purple, on and off purple, for maybe 20 years, hasn't it?
Yeah. I really think it has, but I think Arizonans just in general vote for common sense candidates, and that's what Janet Napolitano was. That's what I tried to be as a corporation commissioner. They want elected officials who put the people of this state first and who seek out common sense, pragmatic solutions for our state. And I think Arizonans know that we have, you know, we're a growing, booming state. We have so much promise and opportunity here. You know, one of the things that I was proudest of as the corporation commissioner was that we passed Arizona's first renewable energy standard, which not only saved, 20 billion gallons of water, reduced emissions, but also helped create 10,000 jobs, good paying jobs in our state. We passed the energy efficiency standard, which, by the way, is one of the best in the country. So we are number one for something, Bill, in Arizona, and it's energy efficiency. And that saved Arizona ratepayers $9 billion with a B, because we didn't have to, our utilities didn't have to build 15 new power plants. So I think we have proven it, that when Arizonans elect the right folks, people who have their interests in mind and the public interest in mind, we can get big things done. And we can do that by working together, both Republicans and Democrats. You know, we had both Republicans and Democrats on the Corporation Commission when we were doing those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's we need to get back to that in the Attorney General's office as well.
We're speaking with Chris Mays. Chris, a Democrat who is running for Arizona Attorney General. Chris, then, do you see the so-called steal the vote as being a centerpiece for pretty much Republican candidates up and down the ballot, Chris?
I mean, unfortunately, I do. I think that way too many of these candidates who are running for attorney general and for governor on the Republican side are unwilling to admit that Joe Biden won the election. And, you know, far too many of them are advocating for new legislation and new policies that would essentially, put barriers in front of voters and, trying to seek to vote, and that would make it easier in one case for the legislature to actually overturn the will of the voters in the next presidential election. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons that we have to elect me to the Attorney General's office. So I will stand in the way of that. If we will honor our county recorders and our county elections officials and the Secretary of State, and we will honor the vote in the state of Arizona, whoever wins, whether that's a Republican or a Democrat. We do not need the legislature trying to assert its will over the vote and trying to throw the vote to a Republican presidential candidate. You know, our democracy really is on the line, Bill. I believe that we have never lived in a more perilous time in our country. And states like Arizona and Georgia are on the front lines of that fight for our democracy. And I'm running for attorney general to fight for this democracy that so many Americans have fought and died for in the past.
All right, Chris Mays, where can people find out more about you and the campaign?
Well, they can go to www.chrismays.com. That's Chris with a K, And yeah, please go to our website, and we'll continue to reach out. We're going to be transparent. We're going to campaign as hard as we can and be out there, especially in Southern Arizona. Love getting, as you know, Bill, I love getting to Southern Arizona and made that a priority as a corporation commissioner.
All right. Chris Mays, good catching up with you again. Chris, happy new year to you and yours, and we'll talk to you in the new year. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Bill. Good to talk to you, too.
All right. Chris Mays, a candidate for Arizona Attorney General on the Democratic side. That's going to do it for that segment, but we've still got Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson coming up to talk about Tucson tourism in 2021 and hopefully better things ahead in 2022 for our very vital Tucson tourism industry. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we want to do a big shout out to our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors. And they are ready to welcome visitors back to the Land of Enchantment. For more information on things to do, and there are all sorts of things to do in Silver City, all sorts of things like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and just hanging out. In Silver City, they've got some great Victorian buildings over there and kind of a great way to immerse yourself in something different. Visit Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson and lots to do, and hope you will check it out in the new year. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. Happy New Year to you, Dan.
Thanks to you as well.
You had a great trip over to Europe, didn't you?
I did, just before seemingly everything shut down and all the rules changed. So we only had one significant surprise that all of a sudden we got to the airport and they're like, you guys have COVID tests to get back into America, right? And we're like, we do. Yes, we absolutely do. So it was great.
So a setback for tourism, the Arizona Bowl. COVID has reared its ugly head. Boise State decided they couldn't make the trip to Tucson, so the 2021 Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl was canceled. However, we should point out that there's going to be some New Year's Eve activity, right?
Yeah, the New Year's, I think it's the Taco Bell sponsored New Year's Eve like spectacular that was sort of associated with the Arizona Bowl is still happening in the heart of downtown at Toole and Congress. If you remember the song "Hey There, Delilah," the Plain White Tees are headlining that. They, I'm sure they have other songs as well. So, but it's a '80s and gentlemen, and I think the local musician as well. So, yeah, solid evening of entertainment. And then you know, all over downtown, they're seemingly everyone has the Hotel Congress has something going on. Still plenty happening. If you're looking for New Year's Eve plans, you'll find plenty of it. Is Matt talking about that on Friday, or that's all too late? Well, anyway. Well, plenty to do.
Yeah, actually, this will be our last live broadcast of 2021, and we'll be back live after the holiday on Tuesday to launch into our 12th year.
People can just call Matt personally, and he'll tell you what to do. It'll be fine.
So we did lose. This is a setback for tourism because we lost some money here, didn't we? In folks coming from. Especially from the Boise area, I think they were going to bring a lot of people.
Yeah, solid number of people coming from that were coming from Michigan as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even just the number of room nights that would have been associated with the teams themselves and the bands. Interestingly enough, Central Michigan is sticking around until like the last minute because they have obligations in town and they're still like still filling the hotels. The team is still here until like the last minute when they head to El Paso. So we're holding on to more of those room nights than you might suspect. It is the challenge of, you know, of booking those rooms of people coming to see the games and probably making their last minute changes and stuff like that. It's not great. It does sort of still indicate that disparity between what's happening in leisure travel, which is shockingly strong. Hotel occupancy in October, November was almost equal to the amount that had been pre-pandemic, but room nights, what people were paying for those rooms was actually significantly higher. So you actually were seeing still a ton of money coming back into the market through leisure travel. The catch is group travel, is business travel. This has been, I think, the same thing. I feel like a little bit of a broken record in 2021. It's just, you know, that's the real challenge is that an organization or a school or a business has a different standard to what they feel safe with for making a decision for a group of people than individual travelers who are still by and large going places and doing things.
Yeah, they are. And I think COVID with the new variant, this is going to pretty much and is racing through the population. It'll burn itself out, hopefully, very quickly. But it puts us in a little bit of a difficult position because Omicron could be around and not that great in January. And that's as we're cranking up for our prime time season, Dan Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that to keep watching is just, you know, how international travel looks, right? I mean, by all accounts, you know, in our conversations with all the various gem shows and things like that is that they're still full on. But, you know, it is an international event and whether people from foreign countries are able to travel here, whether the obstacles for them to do so are so significant that they want to, or whether they just feel like it personally at all, you know, those are the things that will affect, you know, travel going forward and just, you know, whether people do feel comfortable being in spaces with other, you know, you certainly see these things where, you know, a concert in Brooklyn becomes a flashpoint for a bunch of COVID, you know, Omicron infections. Art Basel in Miami, you sort of see these things pop up and it's like, oh yeah, maybe that wasn't such a great idea. And that shakes people in their collective thinking. But as individuals, people are still out there, you know, doing basically whatever they want to. I think we have hit that point where people as individuals are less frightened by it. And, but the effects of whether airline travel is convenient, you know, the cancellations that have been happening, in the last week or so, just based on staffing, the experience that people have when they are somewhere, whether hotels are able to be staffed up. You know, where was I? I was at a restaurant the other day and they had a sign that was like, please be patient with us. We don't have our full staff. And, and hopefully people do feel that way. I think hopefully people are patient human beings all the time. But, you know that people have an experience that may not feel as full, right? Like that it's just sort of like, well, like, yeah, we went, but it wasn't great because we weren't able to get the things we wanted out of the hotel or the restaurants. You know, you waited too long to get your food, things like that. Yeah, that's a little bit of the challenge too, right? Is that you want people to have great memorable experiences and maybe that's not fully possible. They can experience a lot of the things the same way. You know, thankfully Tucson is positioned well that you know, a hike isn't going to be fundamentally different. But when you stay somewhere, it's not like 2019 by any stretch of the imagination.
So where are we other than that? Well, the gem show is still on, but other activities, everything seems to be on some of our big activities for February.
Yeah. I mean, all the major events, all the sort of, tourism related stuff, all the things that are normally happening in January and February still feel very much on, you know, that, clearly biased, but the Jazz Festival in January is, no cancellations. Everything seems to be going, just fine. The, Tucson Invitational Games, so far, which is just a massive event through, February through April is still on as it stands right now. But yeah, the Omicron thing and how long it lasts is really a big tipping point for a lot of those large scale events and fingers crossed that you see the pattern that seemingly South Africa has gone through, the United Kingdom is going through, that the arc is shorter rather than longer.
Yeah, that is the good news. There's also good news where you work at Visit Tucson. There'll be a continuity of leadership. There will not be an outside search for a new leader. Brent Durad left your leader, and you have an internal candidate who got the job. I always like to see that, and he's a good man. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Felipe Garcia was the executive vice president and the sort of, you know, overseer of all the sort of work we're doing in Mexico. And he got the job after a national search first of all, like when you're in an organization, the known is better than the unknown by all, just for confidence. You're like, well, we know Felipe and Felipe's great. Felipe wants to do the sort of stuff that we, you know, it has the same perspective as Brent and on like sort of the growth of Tucson and where it's going. The upside is that Felipe's a big ideas guy too. And that, I think you're going to see a lot of adventurous thinking and sort of bold thinking, because that's the sort of guy Felipe is. He's a relentless optimist, which is a distinct positive too. And, you know, I think you get the same, but hopefully some more too. It'd be difficult to find a bigger cheerleader for what's happening in Tucson than Felipe. And so the enthusiasm, there'll be no enthusiasm gap by any stretch of the imagination. So excited that, you know, we kind of can keep doing what we're doing. And there's a lot of great stuff on the horizon.
All right, Dan Gibson, it's always a pleasure, and we'll try to bring you in every month for our Tucson Tourism Update, and I hope you and yours have a lovely, happy new year. Stay safe. Thanks, Dan.
Same to you and yours.
All right, Dan Gibson with us on The Buckmaster Show. This will give me an opportunity to say Happy New Year not only to all of our listeners, but all of our great partners, our sponsors who have made The Buckmaster Show a success as we close out 11 full years on the radio, and we will launch back live on Tuesday after the New Year holiday. We have lined up what I like to call programs and interviews that are worth a second listen, often called best of shows in our business. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy and healthy New Year. Have a good one.